Kathy and Judy's show with Steve Bertrand today. Little Judy is elsewhere. But she knew that when we signed up.
She's texting me already.
Oh, she has, yeah. She keeps texting Steve. She's not texting me.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, we were talking about Steve's. Steve is going to be gone for a couple weeks.
Yeah, a week from Wednesday.
The
first trip is a week from Wednesday.
Okay. Steve is leading a literary tour of Ireland.
Right.
So you're going to visit spots where people wrote stuff.
That's what we told people to have him sign up.
Okay.
No, we are. It's going to be pretty cool. And and one day in Dublin, we're meeting with three writers and a guy from RTE, the radio, national radio there. And mm-hmm. Declan Hughes is one of the authors, so I'm reading his book now. And mm-hmm. it's going to be fun. Yeah,
great.
So we go, and then we go again. I go again on the 30th.
So you get what, a 15-day break between, something like that?
Yeah, I want to get over the jet lag before
yeah,
we
right,
do it again.
Before you start yeah. the next one.
So
a couple months ago...
I got an email.
You sent me an email.
Yeah. And so, you know, we were pushing this in the spring and everything, and the response is great. Can I just say, I owe you an apology.
For what?
You know how I used to rip on you for being so concerned about the salad at your convention? And the,
oh, right.
You know,
yeah, right.
We'd sit at these meetings, and I'm like, are you kidding me? It's a salad.
Who cares if the bus seats are
yeah, they're going to eat it.
Polyester.
But
yeah.
Now that people are signing up to go with me, I feel such a...
Responsibility.
In fact, I'm emailing with someone this morning, you know, to make sure it goes for them.
You can have any kind of dressing on the side if you choose.
Right.
Yeah.
So I got an email from a woman a few months ago, and, you know, she said, I would love to go on the trip with you, but I can't go. We're just not in a position to go right now. She said, but I have an unusual request. My daughter died about a year ago from breast cancer. And she was in her 30s, and we'd always talked about, apparently her heritage is Irish, and we'd always talked about going back, and we just never got back. We never could get back. And so she asked me if I would bring some of her daughter's ashes to Ireland and distribute them. And
it sort of freaked you out, because
well,
you emailed me.
I did.
And let's make it clear. This woman has given Steve permission to talk about this
and
story.
She wants to keep, you know, a great deal of anonymity, which is I completely
yeah,
understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I asked her about it. And right, so my first thought was this was, you know, I had no expectation. Then I started looking up as to what would be, you know, involved, but you know, it's an honor, I think.
It
right?
is. Totally.
I mean, can you imagine
totally
turning something over like that to
right.
someone you don't know?
Is there any place specific, or she just wants her daughter on Irish soil?
She mentioned a few spots, but
okay.
not a specific location. And,
okay.
and I don't really know where it's going to be. You know, I don't know where I'm going to be or how it's going to work yet.
Okay,
right?
Because I think at the time I said to you that what a neat thing to involve your group with.
Right.
And wherever you do it, and take some pictures so her mom has pictures of the event and
the
service
that.
Or
you
whatever
did.
It
right
is.
Right away, you started telling me how to do it. I remember that.
I'm so shocked.
So it was sort of distant to me. And then I received the package a few weeks ago. And I brought it home a little bit more. And then I was emailing with her mom this week. And she had assumed I'd looked up the young lady's obituary, and I hadn't.
Oh.
And she sent me a link. It was, you know, and then it's a picture
it
and
a
it's
person.
A story. And yeah, so it's going to be an emotional
well,
thing, I
you
think.
You know, that's an interesting request because I think that may be the ultimate, but I think a lot of times when people, I can't imagine if anybody else was ever asked to distribute somebody's ashes
who they didn't
somewhere
know, right.
that they didn't know. I mean, we all have stories of where we, you know, where our mom is or where our uncle is or whatever. But if somebody else asked you, oh, you're going to Antarctica, you know, will you take my cousin Ruthie along and leave her there?
Right.
Right. And the other thing is, I think what I once, when I was still writing stuff for the trip, I once started to write a piece called Other People's Trips. And I think it's sort of universal that when somebody finds out that you're going someplace, oh, well, you have to see this. You
right.
have to go to this. You have to do this tour. And then sometimes when you come back, well, did you get to Johnson's Creamery?
And well, then they're offended, no, right? They're offended.
I thought you would go. I told you all about it.
I'm really bad about that. Did you like the book? Not really.
No. Oh, okay. Well, you know our number. It's 312-981-7200. If you can't get through there, you can always get through on our text line, which is 24/7/20. And we have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
It's not Kathy and Steve, but it is Facebook/Kathy and Judy. So you can check us out there.
But I've really not told anyone until now. I mean, I've told you and a few people,
but. All right. And I know you tease me about being in control of it.
Oh, yeah.
But truly.
Oh, I will. Absolutely.
There has to be, it has to be a deal.
Oh, I want to do it for
parents.
Not just
you taking a plastic bag somewhere. And
No. Yeah, we'll definitely try to do it as best we can.
Because we once left a portion of my mom up in the Rose Garden. At Botanic Garden.
Yeah.
She always called it the Botanic Gardens. And so we went up to the Botanic Gardens and had a little in a plastic bag and just kind of stood there by the roses. And
well, that's it's one thing I'm wondering about is how, because I would like to do it nicely. And
right.
So I don't want to do it in a place where I have to sneak it, right?
Yeah. And you also don't want to do it anywhere where it's windy.
Thank you for that.
Just a thought.
So good to see you again.
Our number is 312-981-7200. I'm Kathy O'Malley. Judy Markey is off for the weekend. She knew she was going to be away when we signed up. Give little Judy a break. And Steve Bertrand has agreed to sit in, and it's great to have Steve sitting here. This is Mary Jane. Hey, Mary Jane.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you? And welcome back.
Thank you so much.
What an honor for Steve. And, you know, you could really do this as a celebration. And after you scatter it, you could maybe have a bagpipe playing or in the county where the family comes from, and then have everybody else release balloons if it's allowed. Or
wow,
something.
Where would you ever find a bagpiper in Ireland?
Mary Jane, we're going on another vacation.
Yeah. Well, there are bagpipers and musicians in Ireland.
I was being sarcastic, yeah. Mary Jane. You remember me.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, but I am going.
I was going to ask you why you didn't bring a hammer to Lou and he could tell you what to do with it or something.
Well,
but
he
you
would.
Said you fixed everything. You said you fixed everything.
I fix a lot of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. But
yeah.
I'm trying to be the boss of Steve
back.
Here. All right, Mary
Jane.
Well,
it's just fun.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
So I haven't discussed it, obviously, with the other people who are going with me.
Right.
But I'm sure.
Well, some of them may choose not to be involved.
Oh, I don't expect to make a huge pageant of it. It's a private thing. You know?
Right. Yeah.
It's a very private. And I was sort of chosen to be the conduit of this privacy.
I think it's wildly cool.
I'm honored. Yeah.
Yeah. 591. No, 312.
981.
981-7200.
I haven't done a show in a while either.
I'm getting retrained here. This is Kathy O'Malley and Steve Bertrand. You can text us at 24/7/20. Kristen will keep us appraised of those, or Decker, as she likes to be called.
My wife even calls her Decker now.
Does she? Well, yeah. She likes to be called Decker. So this is, let's see who this is. This is Dorothy. Hi, Dorothy. Hey, Dorothy. You need to turn your phone down, hon. Dorothy.
Hello.
Hello, Dorothy.
Well, anyhow, there are laws about taking remains from one country to another. You can't just take somebody's remains, hop on a plane, and figure out how to make this a decent burial.
What laws are
you
there?
You have to
What's
get clearance
law?
For that.
There are some rules that the airlines have.
Like what?
You know, copies of certificates and things like that to bring
them.
That's right.
I think I have everything I need. Yeah.
And they
wait a minute. I have a question. It's a bag of ashes.
Right.
The cremated remains of a human being. Doesn't have disease in it. It doesn't have weird. Why are there international laws about sticking a baggie in your suitcase and bringing it to another country? I can understand if it's a plant or an animal, but it's remains.
Well, I think the airline.
How do they know it's remains? How do they know it's remains?
What do you think? Oh, you mean you think they might think it's cocaine?
Well, they can think anything they want. But there are rules.
Well, how do you know this, Dorothy? Did you try to do this at one time?
I know people who did.
And how to go, yeah.
I know, I know somebody whose husband died in another country. It took 2 weeks to get him back here.
Sure, that's a little different where the person died.
No, it's not different. The things are the same either way. Either way, you're taking remains to another country. And this person who sent this to you has to know this. It's going to cost you some do re mi to get through all this. Good luck with it.
Now, Dorothy, wait a minute. Dorothy,
yes.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Yes. Are you a rule follower?
Look, I'm a lawyer. I'm not going to talk anymore because it'll get unethical for me. So you just have to look into this.
Why would it be unethical?
Why would that be unethical?
Why would it be unethical?
Yeah.
Because it's like drumming up business.
We don't know who you are. I mean, unless you tell us your last name and your phone number.
Well, consider it that I'm asking you for legal advice.
Well, you already know my phone number, everybody. I mean, that's simple. But the thing is,
I don't know your phone number. Why would I know your phone number?
Because everybody has caller ID. Anyhow, I'm going to go now.
Okay.
I just gave you a tip. That's
okay.
It. You can do it or not do it. That's
okay.
Up to you.
Thanks,
Dorothy.
Good luck with it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I think the airline.
Do you have a lawyer, Steve?
No. Okay. I could do time in Ireland.
Yeah. There's worse things.
You know, the airline has some ideas of how they would like it. Everything
so
moved.
You've talked to somebody.
I've looked it up, and that's understandable. They don't want things spilled or things, you know, such as that. So I completely understand that. But
okay, well, this is.
I'm kind of hoping they don't check too. It's going to be in my bag.
Yeah, Vicky. Hey,
yes.
Vicky.
Hi. Hey, how are you?
We're fine, thank you.
I would just like to say that there are a lot of laws about where you can put the ashes, and you have to do it if you're not going to do it. Legally, you have to be very, very careful. And when you take it, most of the people I know have taken them out like at night to throw on a golf course or,
okay.
In their favorite pond or whatever.
Okay. Do you know there are laws? Do you know what the penalties are? For instance, if it had been illegal, and it probably was, for us to scatter some of my mom's remains on the ground in the Rose Garden at the Botanic Garden. If we had been caught and led away in handcuffs, I mean, what would be the ultimate penalty? What would we be charged with?
I don't
with?
Know. I think there's a fine, but I don't think that you would want bagpipes playing when
oh,
you
to
were
bring,
doing that.
Oh, you mean to make a big, yeah, make
you don't
a big
want to
deal
call
out
attention
of
attention to yourself.
Right,
yeah.
Good
on
point.
On Merriman Square, right.
Yeah,
no, we're not going to do
that. Yeah, good point. All right, well, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back to more
sure.
of your calls, and including one from a listener who did scatter somebody's ashes in Ireland. This is the Kathy and Judy Show today with Steve Bertrand on 720 WGN. Steve, name that tune.
This is Freddie Fender, 1972. Sorry I hit you with my car.
That's Steve Bertrand sitting in today for Judy Markey on the Kathy and Judy Show. We're talking about Steve's upcoming trip to Ireland. Trips.
And can
Ireland.
I just say, you know, you talked about your Facebook page.
Yes.
People, I would like to encourage them to follow me on Twitter at Steve Bertrand.
Oh, okay. What are you saying? Let's talk about Twitter.
I'm more of
I'd
a
like
Twitter
to talk
guy
about
than,
Twitter because
yeah.
I. Well, you're a big Facebook guy because I get a lot of posts from you on Facebook.
At Steve Bertrand on books.
Yes. Okay.
On Facebook.
Okay. We're talking about Steve's upcoming trip and a sweet story. A woman had contacted Steve and said, it's not something that I'm able to do right now to go on the trip, but my daughter passed away last year. We always talked about going to Ireland together, and I'd like you to take some of her ashes and leave them in Ireland. And Dorothy, the attorney, was very concerned
said,
that
no.
Steve would wind up in cuffs. And
the troubles are over. There's no more hunger strikes there, right?
About
I can
the
do
rules,
time.
About the laws, about whether or not you can do it. As our engineer Bob Ferguson says, you could throw a bag of garbage out on the Eisenhower, but you can't take a baggie of somebody's ashes to Ireland. This is Sheila. Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
You did scatter somebody's ashes in Ireland.
I did.
Legally
I
or not?
My aunt. What?
Legally or not?
Well, I guess illegally.
Tell us.
It was 2003. I had been to Ireland a couple of years before with my aunt and my cousin, and my aunt had said, girls, when I die, I want you to come and scatter my ashes here. And I think she was kind of joking, but we did it. She died a couple of years later. So it was 2003. There was security to go through, and we got it through.
Did they check? Did they have to talk about it? Or
just in a bag in your suitcase, or did you have papers?
Can I give this away? It was just like a little cosmetic moisturizer, like little
in a bottle?
Yeah, they asked that it be in a spill-proof container.
That's understandable. Yeah. I mean, I understand that. But I mean, then if it was in one of those 3-ounce shampoo bottles, then it was only a little bit.
Like, it was like a sample of like Estee Lauder, like a little pot that
all her ashes.
It wasn't all of them.
Right, because I was surprised when I got my mom's ashes in a box. It was a box that was about 8 by 8 by 8. It's a pretty good size. Pretty good size.
She was bigger than you thought.
No, seems smaller.
Smaller.
Than I
thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we just brought a little bit, and then I did the same thing in Hawaii in 2011 with my girlfriend's ashes. And you're right about the wind. You got to be careful.
Don't. Yeah. I will.
Okay.
You could end up wearing the ashes. It could get a little messy.
Wait a minute. I'm just trying to think. Thank you, Sheila. Wasn't there a thing about, was it Keith? Who was the, I think it was Keith Richards, the Rolling Stone.
Snorted his
that
dad.
Actually snorted his father's ashes. All right. We'll wrap up this conversation with Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. My stepfather was a scientist and he loved nature. So when he passed away, I got the call to pick up his ashes, and I was on my way to Wisconsin. So I'm driving, and I just crossed the state line, and it's rolling hills, and the sun is shining. And I thought, oh, he'd love this. So I opened the box, and I opened the passenger window, and I was going to cast him to the wind.
Stop, please.
And as soon as I opened the window, it was like... He was in my nose, in my eyes, he was everywhere. I was covered in him.
Oh.
And I pulled over the side of the road, tried to blow my nose, get him out of there. And I called my girlfriend. I said, I'm going to be late. She said, why? I said, because I have to stop at a gas station. So now
I'm
in a landfill somewhere in Wisconsin.
Oh, good intentions. Good intentions.
The wind thing, Steve, is a great suggestion.
Yeah.
Watch out for the wind.
So we start with a beautiful story. What do we take away from this?
Beautiful.
In your mind and in your nose and in your...
Thank you, Jerry.
You know what? The sad part about it is I got rid of that car about 2 months later because even though I vacuumed the whole thing, he kept showing up. Little pieces would show up after a few days.
Thank
then
you,
it
Jerry.
Freaked me out. So
there's a sitcom in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Hear you.
I think it's already been done. Bye.
David Bowie changes.
Is it?
That's an easy one, yeah.
Okay.
It's not changes.
Wait a minute. Kristen says
that
it is.
That is, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, do you watch Breaking Bad?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't you?
No.
Okay.
I swear to God, if someone were to come to the United States today and start to learn English.
Right.
They would think that's how you say hello.
Breaking Bad.
I'm so tired of being asked that question.
I would. Sorry.
It's okay. But it's true. It's the beginning of every exchange lately.
But, you know, I think that that it's highly inflated. That if you were to take a survey of what percentage of the American television viewing public watches Breaking Bad, I think those that do, including me, just tend to talk about it a lot.
Right.
Because there's all these stories about the deeper meanings and the literary references and everything else. But that reminds me, and don't let me forget to tell you the ADT story. That reminds me that Sunday night, the Emmys were on and Breaking Bad was on, the second to the last episode. I know.
What did you
I
do?
Know, I know. So I
did you videotape it?
I set my DVR for Breaking Bad, and I thought I'll just watch the Emmys. And I started to watch the Emmys, and I thought all I can think about is what's going on in Breaking Bad.
Well, that's good.
So I started to watch Breaking Bad, and I came into the Emmys with the expectation, and I think a lot of people did, that the actors from Breaking Bad were gonna clean the table. You know, Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston and Anna Gunn, they were all, Bob Odenkirk, they were all going to get Emmys. And as it turned out, only one of them did. Anna Gunn was the only one that got a, I guess it was supporting actress Emmy.
Mm.
And it's always interesting to me to watch on those award shows because it's so horrible. They have the camera trained on everybody that's nominated. And I think it's a good test of their acting abilities because they, you know, you don't see that, oh, no, look on anybody's face. It's always, oh, I'm so glad they won. They're a great competitor and everything else.
Bradley Cooper was did I interrupt?
Go no.
On. Bradley Cooper nominated against Daniel Day-Lewis, right, for Best
yes.
Actor last year.
Yes.
And he talked about that. He says, you know, it's an organized torture. You get dressed up every 2 weeks and you sit there and you lose. And then 2 weeks later, they ask you to go do the same thing.
And you lose again.
And you lose again.
And it just occurred to me, I would guess that somewhere in their heads, because when you hear all this buzz around you for a certain period of time, you think, oh, yeah, I'm good. I got this. You know,
right.
I'm going to win this award for best actor, best supporting or whatever. And then you don't. That probably is an across the board phenomenon in a million ways. Yeah, I'm going to get accepted to Cornell.
I'm going to get the promotion.
I'm getting right. the promotion. I'm good to go on that. Oh yeah, Frankie's going to ask me to marry him on Valentine's Day. And those huge expectation things, and then you come crashing down and you don't have you have a plan B, which is to go on living.
I think the divider are the people, how they react to that. Like some people are, I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of like Canada. I expect everyone to recognize just how great I am.
Does Canada do that, you think?
Canada does, right? They sit there and they're like, hey, why don't you pay more attention
to
us?
We're good.
But they don't really go out and publicize themselves or push it, right?
Yeah.
And so I think some of these actors would either be crushed or they'd be like, oh, they got it wrong again.
Like Bradley Cooper.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I think Bradley Cooper was very cool about it. He knew.
I would guess that probably 17% of the population is following Breaking Bad. 17, maybe 22 tops.
But it really is. I mean, everyone I talk to, they say, hey, do you watch Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
And it's like The Sopranos.
I didn't start until spring when I got my Roku box.
Mm.
Do you have a Roku box?
No.
Oh, my goodness. What's the red thing?
Red
Netflix.
Box? Netflix?
Netflix. And I had Netflix.
They'd give you an ointment for that.
And I wanted to watch on my TV because I was watching movies on my computer. And I thought, well, this is stupid. I'd like to sit in a comfortable chair.
Right.
So I started looking for a cable. I thought, well, I just have to hook my PC up to my TV. And I went through this whole thing with this HDMI cable. And it was $6,000 for 50 feet or whatever.
Well, you get the chart says, good picture. Very good picture. Right.
Yeah.
Right?
But they don't. But the connections were, I'd buy one and it would arrive and I'd be all excited. So my son just finally said, Mom, get a Roku box. And that, Bob Ferguson, you're our engineer, you know from Roku box. He's shaking his head.
What does
yes.
it do?
It's a little black box and it connects directly to your TV.
How did it get its name?
I don't know.
Okay. It's a little box. It's a Roku box.
I know, but what does Roku mean?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I'm taking a little detour. Yeah. That's all right. And then you can watch Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu and Vudu and all these things that I don't even know what they are. But it's hooked up to your wireless. So in the spring when I got that, I thought, you know, I've been hearing about this Breaking Bad show. I think I'll start watching it. So I started with season one and 15 minutes into the first episode. I was there.
Right.
I was totally connected.
And see, I'm one of those, I have no doubt that it's a great show. I wouldn't challenge that. I mean, I bet it's a remarkable show, but I've just never watched it.
Okay, because remarkable, I think, they had to know at the beginning of writing this, and I think, I don't know if other shows are, they had to know at the beginning what the end was, because there's this sort of line that it's following throughout, and things are referring back to other things. But to see a human being go from apparent good to obvious evil every week, to see that slide into evil, you just think, how can somebody do this? And you think, because Judy and I were talking last week, and we may pick this up when she's back next week, about evil, about inherent evil, because she doesn't think Walter White is inherently evil.
You're going to wait till I'm out of the
still
room?
Because he still loves his family. And I say, you know.
He started as a teacher, right, and then became...
Yeah, he was a chemistry teacher that got diagnosed with cancer, with stage 4 lung cancer, and said, oh my gosh, I don't have enough money to leave to my family, but I do know chemistry and I think I can learn how to make meth. And he did.
And it wraps up tomorrow?
It wraps up tomorrow night. And I'm not going anyplace. I'm going to be in front of my TV with other people and maybe 17%. Does anybody have any idea? 312-981-7200. Well, what's the percentage of TV watchers or even the American public that's watching Breaking Bad? There has to be a figure there someplace. But
I'm sure it's small. I mean, it's like The Sopranos. Everyone, the media and everyone talked about it.
Oh,
but
my God.
It really
speaking
didn't
of The
reach
Sopranos.
It. Yeah.
Did I tell you about the movie I saw last night?
No.
It's called Enough Said, and it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus and James Gandolfini.
Does he die in the end?
You bitch. It is, oh my goodness, what a lovely movie. And it's you're not going to find it at the big plexes. You've got to go to an art house like Renaissance or Evanston or Landmark or something like that. But it is just a really, really lovely movie. So it's nice to come into the city every weekend and have
see things you don't have. Right?
Yeah. Our number is 981-7200. The area code is 312. And this is Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hi there.
Hey there.
Most of us are uninitiated like you are out in Princeton, but we're here in the big city. I never heard of Roku either. So how do you spell it, for crying out loud, so we can look it up on the internet and decide how stupid we've been?
All right, let me take a guess, Tom. How do you think Roku is spelled?
Well, I would go R-O-K-U, but I mean...
Oh, there you go. Did you look it up? Did you look it up on the internet?
No, I don't... I'm nowhere near it because
how do you
wife is...
Do you watch, say, Netflix on your TV?
No. We have cable. I mean, we have...
Well, I have cable, too.
Universe, so.
Right. I have cable, too. But if you want to watch a movie, what do you watch through Xfinity or something like that?
Yeah, right. We have HBO Cinemax package and gives you choices and...
If you have the HBO Cinemax package, what's your monthly bill? Like $200? I dumped out on HBO and Showtime.
Well, no, we've got internet and I don't know. It's like $80.
Right. They fold it all together, you know. But yeah, you can probably get HBO out of there.
When is that going to happen that we're able to pick? Isn't that supposedly the wave of the future?
So you would choose your cable package?
Have a menu. Right. Say, I want the Golf Channel and Nickelodeon and HBO. And then they say it's this much for each of them. I'm assuming a family of widely divergent.
It's a weird person.
Yeah, sorry, Tom.
The guy that runs Comcast out in Philadelphia, Brian Roberts, was interviewed on CNBC last week, and I just happened to catch it. And he was asked, basically, can you do it a la carte? And the answer, he gave a long answer, as most executives do, but the short answer is basically no.
No.
We can't make enough money.
Well, the problem is we'd lose a lot of channels that very few people watch, because they're sort of subsidized by the ones that more people watch, right?
Well,
So if there's a channel like HGTV or I don't know, pick one, that's not making money, that much money on its own, they lump it in with the packages of all the other channels and they can afford to keep it. If it had to rely only on the people who chose to watch it, a lot of channels would go away.
Which might not be a horrible thing. I mean, I would guess that more people, the example you chose is HGTV.
Yeah,
more people watch I know a couple people that watch only HGTV.
Right.
That's what their TV is on all the time. So I'm guessing that more people watch HGTV than watch Breaking Bad.
Just think how hard they'd be to live with if they lost it.
Good point. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
Yeah, go buy a Roku box. This is Caroline. Hey, Caroline.
Good morning. I am 39 years old, and I've been listening to WGN since I was little, and it's so great to hear you guys back on the air. I can't even
live.
Well, you know, Steve never left.
Excited I am.
I was kind of gaudish.
No, but it's good to hear his voice more. And,
I agree.
You know, more frequently. Okay. I have never seen an episode of Breaking Bad. I'm just like you, Steve. But I also am trying to figure out where people find the time in their day to watch all these episodes and do all that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm retired, so I'm just a little lady out in Princeton watching three episodes in a row. I don't know. If you're 39, what do you have, three kids and a full-time job?
Just the opposite.
You have three full-time jobs and no kids.
I have no kids. I have a job that provides me a lot of flexibility, so if I wanted to, I could find the time and do that. I'm a yoga teacher, so I teach classes at, you know, odd times during the day. But I just don't have the desire to sit down and watch all these.
So
all
what,
these
you don't what wanna... do you do during your free time? How do you spend your free time?
I attend other different workshops and clinics and that sort of thing. As
yoga
stuff.
Education.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
But it's Tuesday night. You've done your yoga and you go home. What do you do?
I actually teach at night.
Quit it. So. Quit it.
Caroline, you can't watch Breaking Bad. It would be bad for your chakra.
But, you know,
it's not. It's a very violent show.
But people
and
go through
evil.
Different. Like, you know, I was telling a friend of mine, I love the Bears. I mean, I used to be paid to watch the Bears.
Right.
You know? And right now, I can't imagine sitting down and watching a full Bears game.
Right. You find time for what you want to find time
I guess that's
for.
It, but it does ebb and flow. And
right. Caroline, are you training
but
for
you know
a marathon?
I, will,
or?
I do tape Project Runway.
Okay.
But the difference is I can fast forward through all those little, you know, boring parts and get to the end, which is the best part of it.
All right. Well, so you can't do that on Breaking Bad. You can't miss anything on Breaking Bad.
That is so contrary to everything I know about yoga.
What?
That you're fast forwarding to the end. It's not supposed to be result oriented.
No, it's supposed to be
enjoy the journey.
Deep breathing. So what if it's
I will
Tim
watch
Gunn?
The next episode completely just for you, Steve.
Write us a paper.
Thank you, Caroline. Our number is 312-981-7200. Aha! I'm gonna miss that. I'm gonna miss Breaking Bad. We've been talking about 22 things here in the last half hour, one of which is the Roku box. And engineer Bob
which, by the way, I have not watched
once
a little bit
okay.
of one episode of Breaking Bad. And I've got Netflix like you, but I've been told by so many people to watch it, but it sounds like meth, so addictive that I just don't even want to get started.
It
I'll
is.
Be there for days.
Total of, I think, 55 episodes or something like that. Anyway.
Wow. So
Bob's,
this Roku
Bob's
thing.
Done some Roku.
I find online here that Anthony Wood is the CEO, and apparently he's the guy that developed the digital video recorder years ago.
Okay. That would be our DVR.
Right. Yeah. And he founded Roku, and it's his sixth company. And Roku apparently is six, S-I-X, in Japanese. Now, I don't think he's Japanese. The company's based in California, but they make a lot of electronics. So maybe there's some, he's got peeps there.
And I love my Roku box. So this is Vince on a la carte pricing. We've been talking about getting only the channels you want and paying only for the channels you want. What do you know, Vince?
Okay, so being in the media industry, yes, as a big media conglomerate, you do want to bundle your channels together per what Steve said. But the flip side of that is, as a consumer, I would like a la carte pricing as well. But what will happen is suddenly the prices for, like, ESPN will be $25 per month. HGTV will be, like, $10 per month. I mean, they're going to raise their prices considerably. Because now it's a choice for the consumer to pick whatever they want. And then, so therefore, the media companies will then escalate the prices because they still have to make money on.
Okay, so you're saying that even if you pick the 22 channels you want, it's still going to cost you what the 1,000 channels cost you because they need to make their money and they'll just jack up the prices of the popular ones.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Because okay. I was a big fan. I'm like you. I mean, there's so many, like G4. I do not watch G4. Not a fan of G4. I could care less. But they bundle them, obviously, and to your point. But real quick, Breaking Bad,
Yeah. Big
fan. How do I watch it? I download it on my iPad, and I watch it on the treadmill. I mean, this woman wanted to know, how do you watch these things? You get lost on your treadmill in an amazing program.
Oh, you
like
multitask.
That.
So during Downward Dog, she could be watching.
Yeah. Yeah. She couldn't do it during yoga. Exactly. It is not yoga compatible. It's too intense. All right. Thank you, Vince.
Thanks, totally.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is Carol. You've been living Breaking Bad? Carol?
Kathy, I had the same experience you had. I got a Roku box really just a few weeks ago, and in 3 days, I watched Breaking Bad.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Okay.
The entire thing.
All right, and tomorrow night, you're going to be glued to your TV, right?
Oh, my God. I can't wait. And
okay.
I just never, ever dreamed that anything could be as wonderful as Roku boxes and Breaking Bad.
Does it make you want to try meth?
Other than you, I've thought about it since I started watching it.
What could be so good about this? I don't need my teeth anyway.
It's like, what happens, you know?
I know what happens to people. Do you think Jesse's getting a raw deal, Carol?
I do.
You know, everybody says that, but Jesse, that little bugger, remember when he stole his parents' house?
Where'd he put it?
No, his parents were selling their house, and he had Saul, the sleazy lawyer, go to him and say, you know, you didn't disclose that there was a meth operation in your basement, and I have a buyer who wants to pay half your price. And Jesse's not without his sliminess. All right, Carol. I'll be thinking of you tomorrow night.
I'll be thinking of you, too. Thank you.
All right, Carol. Thank you.
Chances are I'll be sleeping.
That's one in a row thinking about me.
This is Ireland.
No,
it's
not. It is. I mean, it's Ireland.
Dexy's Midnight Runners or Riders, they're Irish.
Oh, okay. All I know is Bono. Are you staying at his hotel?
No,
at
we're
the
actually.
Clarence?
Well, the guests, the people going with me are, but I'm staying at his house.
Oh. Okay, I said.
I hope he's not there again.
I have to remember to tell you my ADT story.
Right.
When Spike's house burned down when he was on a trip. What was that?
Go ahead. Let's keep telling these stories.
Well,
yeah.
Spike.
I'm leaving Wednesday.
All right. Do you have an alarm system at your house?
No.
All right. Well, Spike's house burned down shortly before I moved out to Princeton, before I got the house in Princeton. And it occurred to me, and Spike talked about this, he didn't have an alarm system in his house. So the fire had really gotten to some destructive level before it was noticed in the middle of the night. And I had this house out in Princeton. I was still working during the week. And I thought, I better get an alarm system. So I got an ADT alarm system, which has been fine. I mean, it's a good system. It's how I found out that I had bats in my house in the middle of the night when the alarm went off because the bats were flying around when I wasn't there. But it has a heat sensor and smoke detectors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if there's a fire, it's going to find it one way or the other. And the only time that my smoke detectors have been set off, and this is a rather recent development, I have a lot of hummingbirds where I live. And I learned that buying the nectar is not good for hummingbirds. They don't need the dye. They don't care if the nectar is red. They just want it to be sweet. And so I make my own.
Sugar
a
water.
A cup of sugar to 4 cups of water. And you put it on the stove and you cook it until it starts to boil, which kills the bacteria in it. And then you let it cool down and then you put it in the feeders. Well, I have learned that if I do that, I need to set my little alarm on my iPhone that I keep with me all the time. Because I have been known to forget.
To boil the water. I mean, overboil.
No,
right?
Right. And it's so interesting what happens
how
to
many,
sugar
How
water.
Many times have you seen it?
Oh, my gosh. One time I was in the house when it happened, and I was sitting at my computer. I had completely forgotten that I had sugar water on the stove for the hummingbirds. And suddenly I see like smoke up near the ceiling. And I thought, oh my God, my house is on fire. And I'm going around the house. And then all of a sudden I smell candy. And it's this sugar water. And it turns black. It's like this black mass. And then there's very serious, heavy smoke coming off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time it happened, I thought, well, this is horrible. I'm old. I forgot that I had something on the stove.
I'll
never do this again. So the next time it happened, I thought, I'm just going to stand here for the seven or eight minutes for it to get up to boiling. It's not that big an investment of time. And I said, I'm going to clean the kitchen while this gets to boiling. And then I got distracted. I can't remember. Probably I was painting the bathroom or something. I mean, I tend to go from job to job without much focus. And again, oh my God, the house is on fire. The last time it happened, and neither of those two times did it set off the alarm.
Mm-hmm.
I had gotten into the house fast enough. I'm fanning by the smoke detectors to try and, you know, unconcentrate? What's the word for dilute? To dilute the smoke. The third time I had gone outside and was watering the lawn or the garden, standing there with the hose. And all of a sudden I smell. What? Oh, crap.
I'm picturing you running into the house.
I dropped the hose.
Right.
I go running into the house.
Which is funny, isn't it? You dropped the hose.
Why?
You're running to a fire.
Oh, good. Good point. As I'm running into the front door of the house, which of course I'd forgotten was locked, I go around to the side.
Wait a minute. I'm seeing you run to the front.
It's
damn,
locked.
Go. Okay.
Yeah. I run into the side door, and all of a sudden I hear, ee, 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 ee. It's just horrifying. So I ran into the kitchen. I had two things to do. Get the sugar water off the stove,
right,
to stop it, and call ADT, because when ADT gets a fire signal,
they send someone.
They call the fire department. So I called ADT. I said, "It's not a fire. It's not a fire." I'm okay. Thank you. What's your secret word and everything else? But that noise that it makes. I can't imagine that if somebody broke into my house in the middle of the night and I had my alarm set, which I sometimes forget to do.
it's debilitating, right?
That somebody wouldn't go, get the hell out of here. That somebody wouldn't not be responsive to that. Our number here is 312-981-7200.
So the elevator pitch to your story is, woman burns down house because she doesn't want to give bird red food.
That would be correct. This is Kathy. Hi, Kath.
Hi, Kathy.
You can relate.
My mom did this. I can't. Well, for my mom, she had a house on a lake up in Michigan, and she was always feeding the hummingbirds, same thing, boiling the water. Well, we went out for a boat ride one day, and as we're pulling back in and we're looking up at the cabin, I'm like, Mom, there's firefighters at the house. Mom, there's firefighters at the house. No, there's not. Mom, there's firefighters. She had left the pan of water on while we were gone for a boat ride.
With the sugar in it.
With the sugar in it, and the pan had, you know, burned up to a crisp.
Oh,
thankfully, there was no actual fire, but it was just tons of smoke.
Yeah, and the smell.
Horrible.
Your house smells like a candy factory for 5 days.
I thought maybe, the birds fly around and eat stuff outside all day. What are you saving them from?
What do you mean, the hummingbirds?
Yeah. What does boil it? What, I mean.
They need, oh, you mean the.
Right.
Why would you bother to boil it? Because
exactly.
It gets bacteria in it and makes them sick. You don't want to give them
and
stuff
you want
that
to
makes
see
them.
Steve. You want them right up next to your house.
Right. I'm just thinking if they fly up to your bee balm that the flowers haven't been boiled.
No, but it's not a liquid that would in which they would simmer and multiply.
Right. I'd say just mix some sugar and water and put it out there.
And
see
put
what
it
happens.
Out there. All right. Well, Kathy, how old's your mother?
Well, at the time, she was probably about 62. So
okay. Younger than me. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. I remember when my upstairs neighbor at the condo, when I lived at a condo in Lakeview, and he was older than me, considerably older than me, and he one time left something on the stove and forgot. I think it was bacon or something like that, and had a fire. It was something that was really
a real fire.
A real fire. And I remember at the time thinking, well, that's when I'm going to know. It's time to go to the home.
Right.
Just when I forget that I left something on the stove.
He was cooking actual food for himself, too.
Talking about my concern for the hummingbirds and boiling the water and winding up having my alarm system go off because it can sense when something's on fire. This is Pam. Hey, Pam.
Hi. I would like to make a suggestion. You don't have to boil the sugar and the water together. I do it. I boil water in a teapot. I pour it into a 4-cup measurer and then add my cup of sugar to the boiled water and stir it around till it dissolves. And then add your drops of food coloring.
You don't have to add the food coloring. They don't need the food coloring.
Right. I know that my mom said that too. I don't get very many, so that's why I do add it, because I feel that the red does attract. I only do a couple. I don't do a lot. I don't make it real red.
Okay, because, I mean, the feeders are usually red. And once they find it, you know, they're there.
Yeah.
But my understanding was that boiling with the sugar in there kills any bacteria. And you're just saying you don't need to. Screw the hummingbirds.
I mean, so you lose one or two.
If they die, they die.
My mom's been doing it. Well, no, my mom's been doing it for years, and she gets she's up north in northern Wisconsin. She gets a ton of hummingbirds.
Okay,
she doesn't.
But you'd never know if they were dead.
I don't know.
Because they'd be so small when they died.
what kind of bacteria would be in the sugar that's already, you know, you buy it at the store? I don't know. I don't understand how that would bother them.
If it's in your kitchen, it's got to be clean and safe.
In my kitchen? All right, so you say boil the water first.
In a canister.
Yeah, boil the water first, add the sugar. Yeah. They're fine. They're birds. Right?
Well, I've never heard that it would kill them.
Okay.
And I also sometimes I've used hot tap water, too. You don't even necessarily have to boil it.
Why don't you try and see if you find any dead ones?
How would you know?
Well, then.
Because remember we said you never see dead squirrels except when they've been flattened
smashed,
on the road.
Right.
But did you ever see a dead squirrel, just a carcass somewhere? Where do they go when they die? Where do hummingbirds go? They're so tiny anyway, they probably shrivel up
They're
like
eaten.
That. Yeah. Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, Pam, thanks for the call.
You're
Pam?
Welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
I don't think Pam was pleased with the outcome of her call. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Kathy. I just wanted to tell you, when you were saying it was time to move to the home.
Yes.
I live in a retirement community.
Okay.
It's not going to do any good to move to the home because we have people here who leave pans on the stove all the time.
Have you seen Judy Markey? Because we can't find her.
And it sets off the smoke alarms, which are connected to the village fire department.
Right. So the fire department's there all the time.
Oh, with the fire engines and the hoses and full gear and everything else. So moving to a home isn't going to change anything.
It's not going to keep me from burning the hummingbird solution on the stove.
Well, I think Steve's got a real good point, too.
Which is what?
I don't know what. Well, I don't know why you're worried about the bacteria, because the hummingbirds get the nectar from the flowers outside. What
I know, but there's not bacteria.
Do you think?
I don't know. It's just water that's sitting there, and the longer it sits there, the more stuff breeds in it.
Well, if you pre-boil it, you're not going to post-protect it.
The flowers outside are exposed to the pollution.
I know, but pre-boiling means that you're not putting it in the feeder loaded with bacteria to start with.
But I'm saying the flowers are full of bacteria. Why?
They are?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Wait a minute. What kind of bacteria are on flowers?
Flower bacteria.
They're outside. They're exposed to everything.
Pat, what's the best thing about living in a retirement community?
The fact that my apartment is cleaned once a week for me.
That's good.
The fact that... the fact that my linens are laundered for me once a week, the fact that I have one meal a day that is prepared for me in our lovely dining room.
How often do you get Jell-O? Do you get Jell-O a lot?
No.
Oh, good.
You can have Jell-O anytime you want for dessert, but I mean, we have pies, we have cakes.
Jell-O's not dessert. Jell-O doesn't count for dessert. It's flavored water.
There's always room for Jell-O.
And on that note, Pat, thanks for the call. Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right. This is it Andrian?
Adrian,
how are you?
I'm great. Hey, you know, when I used to live on the farm, I was forever turning the water on at the horse trough.
Yeah?
And then I'd just leave it running. I'd come home and the pasture be flooded.
This is corn stand Adrian, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We love you.
So and I missed you too.
Do you remember Adrian Steve?
Oh my God! Yes.
The one that said, when you go to look at corn, what are you pulling down the sides for? They all look the same, right, Adrian?
No. What are you looking for?
Yeah, exactly. What do you think is in there besides corn? Yeah.
Hey,
so, what was your point about a hair thing?
Oh yeah, you know what? So go to Walgreens and just get those. Like a 3-pack of hair scrunchies.
Yeah.
Like real, like awful colors.
Yeah.
And then just put one by the hose or put one by the stove. And every time you turn the stove on or turn the hose on, put one of those scrunchies on your wrist.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll never forget that the hose is on. Because you'll look down and you go, what? Oh, my God, the hose is on.
Oh, my gosh, I put that thing on the stove 22 minutes ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And especially if it's a real garish color, you know, something like, oh, God, I wouldn't even wear this thing. You go, oh, my God.
Oh, why did I put that there? Right. Good point.
Right.
Good point. Adrian, it's nice to hear your voice again.
Oh, it's nice to hear you, too. I just even couldn't believe when I just heard you were coming back.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, love you.
Love
Bye
you,
now.
Too. Bye.
WGN.
Kathy and Judy show on Saturdays. Today, Steve Bertrand is sitting in for Judy because she's out of town. There are a bunch of ways to get a hold of us. We now have emails. It's really complicated. It's judymarkey@wgnradio.com or Kathy O'Malley at wgnradio.com. You can also, I've been getting messages on our Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/Kathy and Judy. How else? I guess that's the only way to do it. Now, I have to say this up front, and I said this before. My Facebook page is not, like, public. My Facebook friends, I've posted on the unofficial Kathy and Judy page over the years. I'm now posting on the Kathy and Judy page. And thank you to all of you who requested to be friends on Facebook. It's not personal. I only have friends on Facebook that I actually know.
But if you follow me at Steve Bertrand on Books on Facebook.
Yes. You actually will accept that.
Not only that, I'm friends with you personally, so people can see everything you post.
Oh, is that true?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Could be, though.
Oh, I don't know. And the other one is LinkedIn. I don't know how. Somebody asked me to be
right.
on LinkedIn, and I'm retired, basically. I'm not a good networking person for you. But I'm not going to accept somebody as a friend on LinkedIn if I don't know you. Why would I be linked in to somebody that I don't know?
Just don't be linked in. I don't get that one.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it's very important.
When you're 32 and working in the working world and trying to network and everything.
Right.
But don't take it personally. If you've asked to be my friend and I haven't responded, it's just because I don't know you. So anyway. All right. So we were talking about, and also people are asking about podcasts, how to get a hold of the podcast. Just go to wgnradio.com/Kathy-and-Judy. And right on that page, Kristen Decker, let's just call her Decker, posts our podcasts after the show every day. They're up within an hour.
It's Saturday.
And
what
can
else?
Can I just clarify something?
Yeah.
There have been a lot of discussion
about
getting them on iTunes.
Getting them on iTunes, and we're working on it.
Yes.
It's complicated, and Decker's working on it. but you can always get them on the WGN page. So as long as we're talking about the podcasts, this is our girlfriend, Beth, who has a story. Hi, Beth.
I have a story.
Okay.
Thank you, Kathy. I was so excited you were coming back. I started listening to the best of.
That was our first Saturday show, right?
And I'm listening to this woman. It was a what did you save segment.
Yes.
And this woman saved her dog's testicles. And I'm screaming, oh, my God, I did that, too. And she's going on. I said, I can't believe this is so much like what happened to me. And I dismissed it. And the next day I thought, I'm going to listen to that again. And she said, hi, this is Beth. And it was me. And I didn't hear it.
You didn't recognize your voice at all.
So, I was working. I work all night, so I'm listening, and I didn't really pay attention.
Which begs the question, do you still have your dog's testicles?
They've been lost, but I did not actually throw them away. So the owner of the house may have acquired them.
Oh, you mean they may have been in the home you sold and no longer live in?
Well, no, they're just lost. So when the house gets sold,
somebody's going to say, boy, if I didn't know better, I'd say this was a baggie with dog testicles in it, right?
I haven't seen these since.
There you go. Great story, Beth.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Speaking of animals.
So I get an email from my wife last week.
Yeah.
Had bugs for dinner. Long story. Tell you when I get home.
Okay.
And
but she didn't go to one of these fundraisers where they serve.
No, it was at home. It was at home.
At home.
No. And I'm not home for dinner anymore. So I get home and my daughter, Emma, starts telling the story right away where Sharon had made this very nice frittata. And, you know, we currently are half vegetarian in our house. And so Emma said, I'm eating this frittata and there's black specks all over the top. I'm like, Mom, look at this. There's black specks on here. And Sharon's like, oh, it's spices. No, it's not spices. She goes, oh, it's pepper. No, it's not pepper. So Emma goes to the pepper grinder, grinds pepper.
To compare.
To compare. And it wasn't pepper. So they go to the canister of breadcrumbs that they'd use for this very nice frittata. And apparently there were all kinds of
larvae.
Tiny bugs, black bugs. Like, I think they were living.
Well,
I mean, I think
until they became part of the frittata.
Right.
Right.
So I guess they ran around the house, you know,
chugging
mouthwash and brushing their teeth and everything like that. And I get home and Emma can't wait to tell me the story. And she's telling me the story. And I'm like, the panko breadcrumbs? And she goes, yeah. She goes, they were really old. I said, the ones I used yesterday in the sweet potato cakes? And it's true. I had cooked with the same breadcrumbs the day before. And they'd been in the basement forever. I mean, probably years. You know, you buy those things. But it was sealed. And I unsealed it. And when I unsealed it, it was all clumpy and everything. Like, but
with bug crap.
They're breadcrumbs, right? It's like, it's sugar water. So I apparently cooked with beetles the day before.
Okay.
So Sharon, who thought she'd like purged it all, found out she's eaten it twice now in a week.
Well, I now have whatever they're, flower moths.
Moths?
They're like moths
right.
in my pantry.
Uh-huh.
And those are the ones that emerge. I don't know where, it's a chicken egg thing. Did they fly in? No, they don't fly in from outside and lay their eggs in the gluten-free flour container.
Right.
They were there. They were there. The larvae were there to
maggots.
Start. Well, they're like maggots.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
And
you're eating maggots.
Well, they're cooked.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
How bad can that be?
Right.
But my Ace Hardware, my Gustafson's Ace Hardware, has these wonderful flower moth or pantry moth catchers. And it's triangular.
Uh-huh.
And there's two little holes on the side and the inside walls are all sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little pheromone enriched little thing that you stick on there to make them think that it's party time in the triangular catcher. It's like those sticky traps for mice. You know, when people put those sticky traps down and a mouse, they chew off their legs to get away.
We do that.
But you feel terrible about it.
Not really.
The pantry moths fly in there, and then they're just beating. They're stuck on this sticky thing, and then they're just beating their wings.
Until they die.
Well, I can't stand to watch the end result. But every now and again, I look in there, and there's one of them that's going, oh, crap, oh, crap.
How big are they?
They're maybe a half an inch long.
Oh, they're little.
But I think another stage of it is the larvae that live in the flower.
The maggot part.
The maggot part. Our number is 312-981-7200, and this is Kate. Hi, Kate.
Okay, so I'm homesick. I have, like, strep throat. I'm starting to feel better after a couple days. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go make some oatmeal and get some food in me. And I open up brand new, still sealed in plastic. I open up the bucket of oatmeal, and it is undulating with maggots.
Did you cook them?
So wait. So I take the bucket of the bucket. I put the lid back on it, and I run down the flight of stairs in my apartment, and I'm going to heave it like out into the garbage. While I was sick, my landlord had torn the porch off and was building. I'm standing at the threshold, and I'm, like, waving back and forth trying to catch my balance with a big 16-ounce bucket of maggots. I almost had a nervous breakdown. I swear. I almost had to be put in a rubber room.
Are you okay now?
Yeah, this was, like, 20 years ago. And
oh, okay.
Like, I got PTSD.
But it was an unopened container that was filled with the maggots from... Pantry moths.
Did you touch any of them?
No, but I call my mother, like, crying, and my mother's like, yeah, sometimes when you buy stuff like that, flour or rice or something,
right,
the eggs are in there when you buy it.
Right.
So they basically, like, they lived off my dry oatmeal and just, oh, it was disgusting. Truly, and if I would have fallen off the porch, if I would have fallen over the threshold,
yes.
I can't even imagine what would have happened. So.
Well, you would have dumped the maggots all over your head.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I really appreciate it. Can't wait till the girl gets back.
All right. Thank you, Kate. This is the Kathy and Judy Show with Steve Bertrand today. Kathy and Judy Show with Steve Bertrand.
You were going to tell me your ADT story? I was just checking.
Yeah, we do have those moments. We're talking about Steve and his family being reduced to eating bugs. And this is Pam, who can relate. Hey, Pam.
Hi. Yeah, quite a few years ago, I made a chocolate cake. And you know how you leave your cake sitting on the counter? It was covered. And so we had the cake one night, and it was fine, everything. Then the next day or evening, I don't remember, but it was the next day, I cut into it. And, well, before I could, I noticed it was moving. The cake was moving. And I looked closely, and there was ants. There was black ants. It was filled with black ants.
Oh, my God. Well, but they obviously arrived after you had put the cake on the counter. They hadn't been cooked in there because they'd be dead.
Right. Yeah, it was fine the one day. You know, I made it, and it was fine the one day. And then, and I don't know how many days this was sitting on the counter. I mean, it was... You know, we had it one time and it was fine, and then I just noticed that following day, I went to go cut into it, and like I said, it was moving. It was just filled with ants.
Now, when that happens,
and I never saw any ants in the kitchen or on the counter before that.
Do you look at the cake?
You know, once in a while you'll see an ant.
When that happens, you look at the cake and think. When that happens, you look at the cake and think, I could save this part of it.
This doesn't look so infested. This part looks good.
No, I pitched the whole thing. Oh, it was pretty gross.
Yeah, those big black ants.
Yeah, you don't want to... No, crunch. Ew.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. All righty. This is Kathy. Hey, Kath.
Hi. I went to a lunch thing a couple months ago with a chef doing a demonstration. And he was answering a question from the audience and suggested whenever you buy flour, oatmeal, the kind of stuff you're talking about, you should come home from the grocery store and put it in your freezer for a couple hours.
And what'll that do? Just slow
it in your pantry. I think it just kind of freezes the eggs and kills the critters.
You know what I like about
that
is
I don't know.
It's accepted you're going to eat the eggs anyway. I mean, they're going to be.
And how bad can they be? Right. It's just if they're moving. The moving part would be the downside.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so if you bring home flour, if you bring home flour or oat-based products, put them in the freezer overnight, and if there's anything in there, it'll probably die.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what he said.
All
now,
right.
Now, I just moved to a new place, and I didn't want pantry moss like at my last place. So I've got a couple boxes of rice in my freezer, but I can't swear to you that it works, Gabby.
Right. Well, they do, they do come in rice. They come in rice. They come in flour. They come in pasta. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
I thought that was a really good idea and cheap, too.
Well, here's another really good idea. Thank you. This is Bonnie. Hey, Bonnie.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you for taking my call, and I'm glad you're back again.
Thank you.
I have a tip about the critters in your flour, and like Steve said, he had it in the breadcrumbs.
Yes.
If you take a bay leaf and put it in your flour or in your breadcrumbs or put it on your spice shelf, you won't have bugs. And promise you, you won't have bugs.
That doesn't make sense. Where would they go?
I don't know.
But if they're there and you put the bay leaf in it, is it going to kill them? Is it going to what? What does it do to them?
It deters them from going anyplace else, I assume, you know, like if you have them in flour and, you know, you throw your flour out, hopefully you're getting rid of the problem. But I learned that years ago, and I do it every time now, and it doesn't change the complexity of the flour or the taste of the breadcrumbs or anything.
Okay.
It works.
All right. Thanks for the tip.
Okay.
I remember you're somebody welcome. Telling me once, because I live in the country and I always get mice in the wintertime. Somebody said, oh, well, just put spearmint oil in the, because I would come out to Princeton every weekend when I still lived in the city and open up the silverware drawer.
Yeah.
And it would be the mouse toilet.
Yeah, and it doesn't go, that's just, it's
I know,
in your head,
every,
isn't it?
Then you put all the silverware in the dishwasher and you clean out the thing with bleach and then you come back and somebody said spearmint oil. And that didn't work nearly as effectively as mouse traps.
Oh.
And in fact, last year I found a perfect mousetrap, and you are my Facebook friend, and you may recall that it was such an effective mousetrap that I got so excited because sometimes twice a day, I would open up the section under my sink where you keep the SOS and stuff.
And see a dead mouse?
And there would be a dead mouse in the trap. And so I came to taking pictures of them because this trap was so effective. And when I got up to about number 12, picture of dead mice, I started getting posts. Stop! because every one of them was different.
When we first moved in, we had an older kitchen and wasn't sealed off with stuff. It's an old house.
Yeah.
Pulled out the Fig Newtons out of the bottom drawer, and the mice had, like, carved an arc in the Fig Newtons. Right? They'd eaten so many. It had been a while since we'd had one.
It was their pathway?
Well, it's been a while since we had one ourselves, right?
Right.
So they just
would
go.
And you all live in very nice houses.
We,
and not in the urban center,
no,
right?
Relatively nice.
Mice are human, too.
It's mice.
Right.
It's mice. Mm-hmm. You know, but these little traps, I can't remember what they're called. It's like the Terminator or something. And the good thing about them is once you get the mouse in it, all you do is just like click it open and drop them in the garbage and then it's ready for the next one.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Because they never eat the peanut butter because their last thought before it clamps down on their spinal cord is, yay,
but you really
peanut
don't,
butter.
You don't see their personality that way. If you put the sticky trap in, you get to know it a little bit before.
And see how persistent they are.
720 WGN.